Good morning. The time is 8:07. It is Monday, the 17th day of June of 2024. Very mild start here in North Central Wisconsin. At our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Partly cloudy. Actually, it's more mostly cloudy as I take a look out through the window as I have a beautiful viewpoint of the big hole across the way in the area of the old Wausau Center Mall. And right now, 75 degrees is the temperature. Yep, it was a very warm overnight. It's a very warm start this morning, and it looks to be a rather warm start to the work week. We'll have details on that coming up. But first of all, welcome to the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on today's program, at the bottom of the hour, after our bottom of the hour information update, we'll be talking to a candidate for the new 87th Assembly District in Wisconsin, a district that encompasses right here in the Wausau area. Republican candidate for the 87th, Corey Sillars. We'll have him on at 8:35 this morning. Then in hour number two of the program, I'm going to talk a bit about some more legal trouble for a Wausau conservative radio talker. You may know who this person is. And, well, you may not know he's been in trouble because for some reason, nobody seems to report on it. And I don't understand this. I mean, I was looking at just today as I was getting set for the start of the program and saw a story on WausauDailyHerald.com concerning the arrest of somebody in law enforcement. There's when somebody gets arrested, they could be reported on. But for the case of this, I would call him a popular Wausau conservative talk radio host, we don't really hear too much about it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that coming up in hour number two of the program. So that's coming up here this morning as we start off the new work week here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Before we go any further, need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
It was not a good night to try to sleep, at least for me, because I
had some trouble too.
I had a double whammy because if you decide to sleep in any time, it could cause you troubles then the next time that you try to go to sleep at your normal time. And yesterday, I basically slept very late, much later than I normally do. I stayed in bed very late for a Sunday morning. And I think it ultimately came back to bite me because I tried to go to sleep last night, and the combination of it just being so darn warm and also the fact that I stayed in bed so late yesterday meant that my body wasn't really ready to go to bed. And then you add the warmth, and I have an apartment, and the air conditioning really doesn't reach to the bedroom. So it's really a case of I got a ceiling fan, but it just basically blows around the warm temperatures.
I see.
And even then, last night, I'm thinking, should I turn on the ceiling fan? Should I not turn on the ceiling fan? I thought, well, if I turn it on, then at some point I'm going to have to get back up and turn it off when I'm ready to fall asleep. But then if you get up when you're about ready to fall asleep, that means you may not fall asleep again. So I just kept it off. But hour after hour, I could not fall asleep. I mean, I got very, very little sleep last night. And, I think right now it's fine. But I think as the day goes on, it's going to be catch up to me at some point. But, yeah. I mean, just last night, we have been, I would say, fortunate. I mean, was it last week when we were talking to Brittany? There were some nights where some areas, especially in northern Wisconsin, was getting close to the freezing mark.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about, temperatures in the 30s and the 40s and perfect sleeping weather, really nice sleeping weather. Mm-hmm. And then last night, I mean, I don't know if it ever got below 70 degrees. I mean, right now to be at this point of the morning, it's, just after 8 o'clock and it's 75 degrees. Just, it's not good.
It is hard to sleep when it's humid. I mean, if it's humid, I tend to sweat more. It's really hard for me to fall asleep if I'm sweaty and hot.
I know it.
And then I just get irritated and I'm tossing and turning. I can't sit still and just... I've gotten into this weird habit of Some days I'll go the whole night without waking up in the middle of the night, which is fine. And then recently, just some nights I like, for some random reason, I don't know why, I wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and I just...
I know. Well, just get used to it because you get older.
I'm able to fall back to sleep in about 15 minutes. But say for some random reason, I just, oh man, not again.
And if you folks were listening earlier to the Up North News program with Pat Kreitlow, you heard Pat talking about, as he is based out of the Chippewa Falls area, that there's some severe weather in the western part of the state. We're going to have to wait and see whether or not this severe weather moves towards us later in the morning. It is expected that we will be getting some rain as we get closer and closer to the end of the morning. But in fact, right now there is a severe thunderstorm warning that remains in effect until 8:15 a.m. For Eau Claire County, southwestern Chippewa County, and southeastern Dunn County. So again, as we get later into the morning, be aware that we are expecting some rain, and at that point perhaps the temperatures will go down. In fact, when I was looking at the current weather in Eau Claire, it's actually only 64 degrees because that rain is moving through. And of course, I think once the rain goes by, then their temperature will rise back up. But should that rain come here later in the morning, as expected here in the Wausau area, at this point, not counting on severe weather, but some rather significant rainfall. In fact, some significant cloudbursts. In fact, we're looking at anywhere from 3/4 inch to 1 inch of rain possible as we get later into the morning around 12 noon. So we'll keep an eye on that as we continue throughout the morning here on Bow Falls Radio. And if there should be any severe weather, the folks from our meteorology team at Bow Falls Radio and Civic Media will keep you up to speed on the weather. But right now, it does look like weather system will be moving into our area coming up sometime this morning and later morning, early afternoon. And that will keep the temperature from not going too much warmer than it is right now. In fact, expecting temperatures ultimately around 80 degrees today before tomorrow, where it's going to be a true summer-like day. Tomorrow we may be hitting 90 degrees, and we'll have more details on the weather coming up in just a few minutes. Also, over the weekend, as we talked about, the Milwaukee Brewers continue to do what they do. They just seem to win 2 out of 3 games all the time. They win 2 out of 3, and they maintain their position at or near the top of the National League Central Division standings. And the Brewers, they lost the first game in heartbreaking fashion to the Cincinnati Reds on Friday night. So maybe they won't win 2 out of 3 this weekend. But Saturday, another good pitching performance, and they were able to win by a score of 3-1. And then yesterday at American Family Field, they wrapped up their series with the Cincinnati Reds defeating the Reds by a score of 5-4. So Milwaukee, again, they just keep on adding to the number of games over 500 on the season. Milwaukee now 42 wins and 29 losses on the campaign. They are now 6.5 games ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis is 35-35, and then you got Cincinnati and Pittsburgh 8 games back. And I think, as happy as folks are that the Milwaukee Brewers are in first place in the National League Central, I think there are more than a few people that are just as happy to see the Chicago Cubs in last place in the National League Central Division. Craig Counsell, the manager of the Chicago Cubs, has not had an easy go of it recently. They are now 34-38 on the season, and the Cubs are in the cellar in the NL Central. Again, it's a long, long season, but at the same time, I think Milwaukee Brewer fans who, number one, they want to see their team win. But number two, I think they love seeing the Chicago Cubs lose. Put the big L up there. I see on social media all the time after the Cubs lose, it's because the Cubs are known for putting the big W on their flag at Wrigley Field after a win. People like to show off their L flags Cubs lose. So the Cubs right now in last place in the National League Central Division. Also, you talk about a team that is off to a red-hot start. It's the Wausau Woodchucks. The Woodchucks right now are 17-3 on the season in the Northwoods League. The
nice job, Woodchucks.
Yeah, they are just red hot. They're going to be as hot as the weather tomorrow night here in the Wausau area. The Woodchucks extended their win streak to 7 games in a row last night, going up to Canada, taking on the Thunder Bay Border Cats, and the Woodchucks earned a 9-3 win. So 7 straight wins for the Wausau Woodchucks, 17-3 on the season. And also, they went a perfect 5-5, 5 out of 5 on their road trip. So the Woodchucks, even when they hit the road, have been able to continue to win. And the Woodchucks will have an off day today. And then tomorrow, when the temperature is supposed to be all 90 degrees, maybe by the evening it'll start to cool down a little bit. But the Woodchucks are back home at Athletic Park tomorrow. They'll take on the Lakeshore Chinooks starting at 6:35. So
Chinooks.
The Chinooks. Yeah, the Border Cats, the Chinooks. Woodchucks are like an old-fashioned kind of name, you know.
These team names just always really in a tree, because I don't know where they come up with some of these team names. It's not just the local teams, it's just the professional teams as well. I mean, it's amazing.
You don't see as many names that have S's at the end. In fact, the NHL team that was based in Phoenix, the Phoenix Coyotes, have moved to Salt Lake City for the start of next year. And I saw a story that the new Salt Lake City, Utah team has a number of 5 different names that are right now the finalists to be the new nickname for the team.
Oh.
And I think only one has an S at the end of it. So coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the weather as we do at 8:20 each and every weekday morning. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour after our information update, we'll talk to 87th Assembly District candidate Corey Sillers. He'll be joining us at 8:35. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 8:18. It's the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
The second annual Celebration of Life with Extra Innings takes place June 21st and 22nd at Sunnyvale Softball Complex in Wausau. Nicolet Bank and GI Associates of Wausau are both proud sponsors of this important event, helping local families right here in central Wisconsin affected by cancer. This event won't be possible without the generosity of local businesses and organizations willing to do the hard work for the right reasons. Saturday has a special children's cancer tribute game, and all children are welcome to play. There's still time to get your team entered and become part of this amazing event. For more details and sponsor info, go to extrainnings-wi.com or call Ted at 419-260-1073. There are numerous opportunities to sponsor or volunteer. Again, that's extrainnings-wi.com or call 419-260-1073. All funds raised stay local to help families right here in central Wisconsin.
Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO. And on the Civic Media app. Again, mostly cloudy skies. A very mild start here in central Wisconsin. 75 degrees is the temperature. Also, we just heard a promotional announcement concerning, again, a terrific event coming up this weekend. It's the Extra Innings event going on at Sunnyvale Softball Complex. There is just a lot going on. The extra innings celebration of life. We will have a chance to talk to the organizer of this event, the leader of extra innings, Ted Hartke, on this program tomorrow morning. Again, we'll be joined by Ted Hartke tomorrow morning to talk more about this extra innings celebration of life, second annual. A lot going on at this event, one of which is a softball tournament. And Ted has let us know that the softball tournament has been revised to an 8-team tournament. There'll be two divisions of four teams, pool play. All teams guaranteed to play at least three games at the terrific Sunnyvale Softball Complex in Wausau. The championship round will be 2 out of 3. And the deadline to get your team involved for this great event, this great tournament, is midnight on Wednesday. So, again, midnight on Wednesday is the deadline. And if you are trying to assemble a team, would like to join a team, you can contact Ted as well. He says he knows of a few teams who are unable to complete a roster or are looking for players. And, again, you can contact Ted by either going to his Facebook page to get the information or by calling 419-260-1073. That's 419-260-1073. It is the extra inning celebration of life, and a lot going on this weekend, including that softball tournament. They are going to have a concert series, a couple of terrific performers on Friday from 7 to 11 p.m. Rising Phoenix, and then on Saturday from 5 till 7, Caleb Delaney. And again, all proceeds from everything that is happening at this event goes to benefit local cancer payments. And if you've heard our conversations with Ted Hartke previously, he has spoken about how important that is, that all the money that is raised here is going for those that are here in central Wisconsin and their families that are battling this terrible disease of cancer. So again, if you're somebody that's always worried, well, the money that we're giving isn't staying here in our community, well, every penny for this extra innings celebration of life is going to cancer patients here in North Central Wisconsin. Also, as part of this event, lots of children's activities. Coming up on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., there will be a children's concert featuring Toon Tots with Mr. Temple, bounce houses, face painting, a petting zoo, food and drinks, and more as well. And again, really fun stuff for the kids as well as for the adults as well. And you can get more information on everything that's going on. If you want to have, you know, get all the information, know when things are happening, check out Ted's website at extrainnings-wi.com/events. Again, that's extrainnings-wi.com/events, and we'd love to see you there. I'll be there on Friday evening broadcasting live, and the whole event goes Friday and Saturday, and would love to see you down there. And again, make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. We will give you more information, find out more again about extra innings and where this money is going to, and some of the stories behind this organization and behind the folks that have been beneficiaries of the funds as well. So we're looking forward to having Ted Hartke back with us tomorrow morning. Normally during this time frame, we are joined by Brittany Merlot, but Brittany is taking a few days off early this week. She'll be back with us on Thursday morning. But boy, today, again, a very warm start here in central Wisconsin. And again, I want to remind you that there are some severe thunderstorm warnings right now in effect west of us over in the Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls area. There has been a severe thunderstorm watch for much of western and towards central Wisconsin. In fact, Clark County, just to the west of us here in Marathon County, is under that severe thunderstorm warning. But Marathon County and Portage County and Wood County and Lincoln County, the areas here of our Bull Falls Radio listening area, not under a severe thunderstorm watch. But we still are expecting some thunderstorms and Some could be severe as we get later into the morning, and also some heavy rain. That's something to keep an eye on as well. In fact, looking at our forecast from the National Weather Service, the new rainfall amounts expected between 3/4 and 1 inch. And most of this rain that we're expecting will be later this morning. So again, I'll keep an eye on the radar. Right now, the rain still is in the western part of the state as we look at our radar in the Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls area, but it will be moving towards central Wisconsin later on this morning. And as we continue throughout the rest of this program, I'll make sure to keep you up to speed on the rain and as it comes closer to us. And for the forecast today, showers and thunderstorms mainly before noon, a high near 79 degrees. Southwest winds 5 to 9 miles per hour, becoming south-southeast in the afternoon. And those new rainfall amounts between 3/4 and 1 inch possible. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 11 p.m., a low of 70. It's not going to be a great sleepy night again tonight in central Wisconsin. And then the temperatures really go up tomorrow. Mostly sunny, lots of sunshine tomorrow, but boy, very hot conditions and a high near 89 degrees. There will be some breeziness out there. South winds 11 to 18 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30 miles per hour. So again, tomorrow very, very warm. Right now, again, mostly cloudy skies. Temperature stands at 75 degrees. Winds out of the south at 5 miles per hour. Dew point way up there, 71, so that humidity also making it feel it very warm. Relative humidity of 88%. The barometer at 29.82 inches and a visibility of 7 miles. Coming up next, it's an information update. News, weather, and sports. Information at the top and bottom of every hour. And then we'll be joined by Assembly candidate Corey Sillars, 87th Congressional, I should say Assembly District. The time is 8:29. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com and x.com. Go to the Bull Falls Radio page. We have a video stream. You can add your comments and be part of the program that way as well. And right now, very happy to welcome into studio candidate for the 87th Assembly District and a new district after some of the lines have been redrawn, and a Republican candidate, a competitive primary, then, of course, the general election coming in November as well. But very happy to welcome candidate Corey Sillars. And, Corey, thank you for coming on over.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in today.
Absolutely. I thought we'd start off with some background for folks who may not be familiar with you. I guess maybe the thumbnail biography of Corey Sillars. Who is Corey Sillars as you start this journey into a run for assembly?
Sure. I'm a lifelong resident of Rim Mountain, and I've been a trustee in the village since April of 22. I have two kids. My daughter's in college over at NTC, and my son is will be a senior at Wausau West High School, does football, baseball things. So sports dad as well.
I've seen him around. I've seen him around.
Yeah, a little bit, right? I started working with my dad when I was 12 years old, and I've been a carpenter for over 30 years. 2012, I took over the business from him, and I have a long list of repeat clients over our now 50 years. Actually, this year is our 50th year, and I think that's a testament to what my father taught me about how to work and build relationships with people, and doing that through hard work, and people see that, I think, and resonate with me. And I started following all the referendum questions as part of the Wausau School District about 3 years ago. Went and used my 3 minutes of public comment as much as I possibly could to be engaged and understand what was going on. Tried to talk to superintendent and the business operations manager at that time. And when the open seat for Wausau School Board came up in the summer of 22, put my name in and was appointed to that position in September and then got reelected April 23. So new to politics in general, just been a very involved father, been very involved over the last 30 years really with the Wisconsin Builders Association and pushing pro-housing issues and deregulating that to try to create a better affordable housing situation for all residents in the state. So that's my basic experience.
Let's talk about this race. Obviously, you've decided to throw your hat in the ring here in the 87th, two-person primary at this point on the Republican side. Why did you decide that this was a position that you wanted to attempt to serve here in Central Wisconsin?
Some of the reasons I got into both being a trustee and being on the Wasco School Board is not feeling that, you know, some of it's bureaucracy, some of it was elected officials, but just not feeling that parents and residents weren't having a voice, like, you know, those in office weren't listening kind of thing. And the makeup of the 87th is a lot of rural area. It's a lot of farmers, loggers, truckers, mechanics, you know, factory workers. And I've been a carpenter for 30 years. That's what my dad taught me how to do. And I do it well, you know, and I have repeat customers. And the people I've been engaging in the less populated areas have been absolutely fantastic. They've been relating to me, and we talk about the issues on their potato farm. We talk about their struggles at their auto wrecking place and them not having quite enough workers. I found it that I'm a working guy. I'm a blue-collar guy, just like them, and we've been able to have great conversations. And that's a real reason. I want to make sure, because I felt that, and I've been getting that same reaction, that we aren't listened to in Madison. And because they relate with me and I relate with them, I hope that they understand that and I can be a good representative for them.
Let's talk about some issues. In fact, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I was having my lunch and I went to a fast food restaurant, and they had a radio station, not our radio station, which was unfortunate, but another radio station, and I heard a commercial for your campaign. I will say, number one, I thought it was a very tough commercial, a very tough, I think you can call it comparative with your opponent. Others would call it negative when it comes to your opponent. But I want to talk about a couple of things that you said in that commercial, because when I was listening to it, I thought, hey, this is, if I get a chance to talk to Corey Sellers, these are things that kind of jumped out. Number one, you talked about a term that I'd heard in national politics, the Uniparty. And I would say that somebody I've heard say it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others in the Trump wing of the Republican Party. When you use the term Uniparty, when you talk about your opponent in the primary, maybe talk generally about the representatives down in Madison, what do you mean by that?
Well, I had some training. It was new candidate training. We were offered. I went to that training. The message, and people are going to find out right away, and they'll find out right now talking with you, I don't mix words. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you a circle answer. I may be overly honest, but that's going to resonate with people, and they're going to understand that. So during that training, we're flat out told that do what you need to do, have the message in your area in order to get yourself elected. Well, but when you're down here, this is how X, Y, and Z actually are. So to have that from our presenters right away before I'm even in office, I thought was very revealing. And that's kind of where the Uniparty is. It's, we want you down here. We want to retain the majority. But at the same time, reality down here is different than what you find it to be in your district. And I'm saying, no, the people of the district are who I would be working for. The reality of our district needs to be influencing the reality of Madison and changing the reality of Madison. And that's the Uniparty. You're being told, do whatever it takes to get in, say whatever you got to say, tell people what you want. And that may work there. But when you get down here, almost like we're going to expect you to vote a different way because we're never going to get that passed. It could be a very conservative issue, or it could be the other way too. Right. And the minority put forth bills just the same way. And Republicans had been in the minority in the past. So that's my Uniparty look. That's what I understand it to be.
Can I ask you, it reminded me as well of a conversation that I had with a friend of mine who is a very conservative person, much different politically than myself, but still a friend of mine, and we had this discussion. And one word that I said, well, what about compromise? And he said, that's a dirty word. And again, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but listening to the spot, again, it sounded to me like, hey, compromise may be a dirty word to you. And also the fact that you, I think, compared maybe a little bit of yourself towards State Senator Tomczyk, who ran against Mr. Jacobson in the primary 2 years ago. And you kind of used, hey, he ran against a real conservative 2 years ago and lost the primary, that the term real conservative, I guess compromise, because I know that it's not just one side on the conservative side. I know of liberals who also feel like that is a dirty word as well, that they don't want to compromise on principles. But in terms of getting things done, how do you look at the word compromise, I would ask? Is it a dirty word to you?
When we get to the compromising part, the 90% of the issues, there's this, the Ronald Reagan thing. If the guy votes with me 80% of the time, he's my buddy. And I've even heard it used locally about 90% of the time. Well, 90% of the time, and there may be bipartisan type issues, and both sides are agreeing on things. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's Democrats who actually... We probably have some views that are exactly the same, and we can agree on things. It's the 10%. That's the part that might be this uncompromising kind of idea where we're just not gonna. If you're gonna look at it as a Republican, I don't even look at it as. It's just we're not gonna agree as persons. We don't even have to put a party on it, mm-hmm. right? I just think this about. God and religion, and the other person thinks something that's opposite. So there's probably a whole bunch of, I think there's actually a whole bunch of in-between stuff. And that could be, I have multiple ideas about to work on school funding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just educating our kids. Mm-hmm. And how's the best way? How do we get the best out of the kids? How do we do it for the least impact on a taxpayer? How are the rules, how can they be tweaked? How can you keep local control over that and let each district decide? How's that affect the revenue caps?
Right.
Right. So there people need to understand that there's probably somewhere in between on some of those issues. But when we talk about if you're going to compromise or not, and what I was suggesting in the ad that you're referencing is simply that this is how I've always thought. This is how I was taught. I haven't started off in one spot and moved now more conservative to a more conservative position. Again, it's the 10% on the couple issues that are what I would see as very conservative issues, or maybe traditional very conservative issues, where there's a group, and I believe that to be within the 87th, that they are uncompromising about a couple things, and those are the people I'm identifying with.
Let me ask you about a point you made during that last response, talking mm-hmm. about religion. What do you think the role of religion should be in public office?
the role of religion in public office is that each person's religious view gives them their personal moral compass. The way I was raised and my faith journey has hardened, crystallized my views on a couple of the issues, and that's my stance. We can say it, compare it as a right or wrong kind of thing. But that's what I think. I think your religious upbringing, your faith journey helps to be your moral compass. And, you know, each that journey is different for each person.
How do you take that, though, in a position where you're making law, where you have, and again, the term is faith. It's, again, maybe not fact. Again, faith is faith. Mm. How do you take the two sides and, okay, I got faith, but then I am making laws that affect people that may have different feelings about faith?
Well, that, you're putting it to me in a different way. Should there be a separation at times between the church and faith? Sure. But at the same time, it's how do we decide what is right and wrong just in general? But that is the moral compass that makes us decide whether we have a law and how it affects people a certain way.
We got to go away for about 1 minute. We'll come back and talk about some other issues with 87th Assembly candidate Corey Silvers as we continue on this Monday morning. The time is 8:49. It's getting darker out there, expecting some rain. Temperature is 75 degrees. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. And again at Facebook.com and X.com, where you can watch a video and also make comments, ask questions as well. And in fact, I do have a question. And a pair of questions concerning what they're calling women's issues. And obviously there's been a lot of... a lot over the last few years, but maybe some changes, and I think some people are very happy about some changes and some people are very unhappy. But this listener says, let me just real, how would you vote on women's reproductive issues? Do you support bans, or does he support a woman's right to choose? How do you look at some of these issues, whether it's abortion, whether it's, and we've been seeing some in vitro legislation at the national level. I guess, what's your general point of view when it comes to women's reproductive issues?
So we call it abortion, but it's, and or we can call it women. And I think ending a baby's life. I am a believer, and a lot of the folks in the 87th that I've talked to already, this is their. This is one of their 10% issues. Life starts at conception, and we would really like to see it to go to a natural death. That's life. That's human life. Little ones that are in the womb don't have protections, the same as somebody that's outside the womb at this point. So that's one part of a discussion. If you say women's reproductive rights and you're going to talk about contraception is available. The difference that I was explained to me by a friend that said, you're going to go in there and take away contraception from myself and my daughter. I said, how would I do that? I'm not closing down Walgreens or CVS. That's available to you. So what she said, though, is the issue is between more or less government-funded contraception or can I just go buy it over the counter? And I said, well, that's not going away. We're not even discussing any of that as far as I'm concerned. What's happening with, you say abortion, it's not, we're not aborting. You may have a medical need to remove the embryo from a fallopian tube and repair the tube, or have the doctor needs to take part of that out. That's a medical procedure that's between you and your doctor. At the end of the day, what me and this is my personal view, I state it very clearly, I would, life begins at conception. I'd hope that people can make it to their natural death. The people in the 87th that I've interacted with are same opinion. But medical procedures are between any patient and their doctor. That's, government doesn't need to be involved with that at all. And that's not necessary. It's not a pro-life. It's not a pro-choice. If it's a medical procedure, that's not my deal. If the state in general decides to go back to some level of abortion, which right now, my understanding, based upon the court case from Dane County, it sits at 20 weeks. If the woman decides to do that with their provider, then that's up to them. And to me, based upon my religious views that we were just discussing a little bit, that's between them and whoever they feel is God or their maker or the higher power that they see or they don't see. That's, I'm not here to control that. But I am very clear on what my position is on
would,
that.
Would you vote for a total abortion ban in Wisconsin if a bill came in front of you as a member of the assembly?
Yeah, it's going to depend upon what form it's written. But I would be for a ban before I would be for having the exceptions.
Another question that was sent in is, what is your plan to combat the lack of accessible and affordable child care in Wisconsin? This is something that also disproportionately affects women. And also, I would say it's probably an issue because we've heard a lot about housing issues as well. And, job issues when it comes to making sure that there's enough people out there to fill a lot of the jobs, not just in Wisconsin, but throughout the country. And one aspect is child care. Do you have any thoughts on that question?
Keeping the kids safe and finding people that you can trust with your little one is definitely a concern of mine when my two were small. We found an in-home provider, right? And they still have some level of regulation. They can only, usually at that time it was only like six children and they had to be certain ages and things like that. Is that getting better? No, it isn't. And some of it is because there may be a few more restrictions on the home care providers in comparison to when my kids were in it. And because I have known a couple friends that used to do it and they don't do it. They have. It's a little bit easier job, they say, instead of watching six little ones, they got a different job. They make a little more money. Their schedule's, easier. They can take vacation when they want. And then a lot of people are looking to work from home. I've been on Zoom calls. You can hear the little ones in the background. Mm-hmm. Or a couple of our staff people actually at our state builders were totally okay with that. And the little one was right on her lap while we were having the meeting. Right, there's a lot of different variety of what is available. And fortunately, employers, if they have the ability, there's a few employers that have some daycare right there in order to attract the employee in to their business, right, to run, just allowing the flexibility. Come into the office 3 days, the other 2 days, maybe that fixes that.
We only got a few seconds. Sure. Is there a government role in this, or is it something that you don't feel like it's really a government role?
Well, it's kind of a market role. The government role is to make positive regulations that protect the kids enough, right, but don't over some burden. don't put too many burdens on to the provider at the same time to make it more affordable.
Corey Sillers, candidate for the 87th Assembly District, and appreciate you coming by. To scratch the surface on a lot of the issues, but hopefully you can come back in and talk again sometime in the near future.
Thank you so much.
Corey Sillers with us here on Bow Falls Radio. Coming up, an information update, news, weather, and sports, and then our number two of the program. I'm Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.